For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. The state Senate votes unanimously, 40-0, to approve an ethics bill prompted by JMU's controversial hire of a former lieutenant governor. We also have an update from the General Assembly on protections for low-wage workers, raises for teachers, climate change, and the opioid crisis. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, January 30th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with parking available. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
An ethics bill prompted by JMU's controversial hiring of a former lieutenant governor has advanced in the General Assembly. Tuesday, the state Senate voted unanimously, 40-0, to approve a bill that would prohibit someone from a university's board of visitors from taking a position with the university within 2 years of serving on the board. Valley Senator Mark Obenshain, a Republican, introduced the bill after James Madison University hired former Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling as a senior fellow in residence just months after he left the board of visitors, and email records show that Bowling, also a Republican, had discussed the position with JMU President Jonathan Alger while Bowling was still on the board. The bill now goes to the House for a vote. And full disclosure, WMRA's operating license is held by JMU's Board of Visitors. Another little-noticed piece of legislation is advancing through the General Assembly, and it could pose a serious threat to Dominion Energy's planned Atlantic Coast Pipeline. That bill would add new restrictions on Dominion's ability to pass along costs of transporting gas from the ACP to its Virginia-based power stations. That could pinch the bottom line of a project whose costs have already ballooned in the face of fierce opposition from environmentalists and landowners. The legislation passed out of a Dominion-friendly House committee 8-2 last week. It is backed by an unusual coalition of Tea Party conservatives and green groups. The bill still faces an uphill battle, though. Dominion is one of the most politically powerful corporations in the state, and it rarely sees legislation that it doesn't like become law. Should Virginia work with neighboring states to combat climate change? Lawmakers are divided on that question along partisan lines. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Democrats say Virginia should join regional programs to cut back on carbon emissions. Delegate Alfonso Lopez is a Democrat from Arlington who says now is the time to work against climate change.
Taking action across multiple states would also contribute to improved air quality for better public health across the region. It makes sense for Virginia to be in the room where it happens, actively engaged.
But Republicans don't want to be actively engaged, at least not in regional plans to cut back on carbon emissions. Delegate Charles Poindexter is a Republican from Franklin County, and he says Virginia should consider all the pushback against these kinds of programs.
I think we've all seen the pushback on climate change bills around the world and in the United States. We saw riots throughout the villages and cities and even into Paris, France.
This week, the House of Delegates passed two bills preventing regional cooperation. One that would prevent the governor from signing on to regional greenhouse gas initiatives, and the other would prevent Virginia from joining regional transportation sector emissions programs. Both passed largely along party lines.
Low-wage workers may be on the verge of getting new protections, and Michael Pope has that story.
Workers in Virginia are required to receive pay stubs showing how their salary is calculated and whether they're receiving all the money they're owed, but only if they request it in writing. Delegate LaCharisse Aird, a Democrat from Petersburg, has a bill that would require all employers to provide all workers with pay stubs, a bill that sailed through a House subcommittee this week.
I'm thrilled that we were able to move forward common sense legislation that now ensures all Virginians will receive proof of their wages, and even more excited that we had no opposition from any entity.
No opposition because Aird was able to assuage business groups by creating an exemption for some agricultural workers. Meanwhile, at the other end of the Capitol, Republican Senator Frank Wagner of Virginia Beach has a similar bill on the Senate side.
It might provide, and I'm hopeful it provides, a level of protection for those that are just basically using people and paying them far less than a minimum wage.
Wagner's bill has already been passed in the Senate, and support in the subcommittee for Aird's bill is an indication the effort has support from Republicans and Democrats on both sides of the Capitol. I'm Michael Pope.
Lawmakers in the General Assembly support a 5% teacher pay raise. That news comes after thousands of educators marched to the Capitol on Monday. But as Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports, there's more than meets the eye when it comes to raising teachers' salaries.
When the General Assembly promises a pay raise for teachers, that money doesn't all come from state coffers. Localities are actually on the hook for a big chunk of it. On average, almost half. And if they can't afford it, those raises may not happen.
Do I believe that every locality in the Commonwealth will implement a 5% salary increase for school staff? Absolutely not.
Kathy Bircher is with the Virginia Education Association. She says that local match is not the only barrier to raises for teachers. The other is that the state doesn't determine the dollar figure it sends by the actual number of teachers in a district.
Without the state sending additional dollars for the staff that is truly in place on the ground, until we can make changes there, it's going to be very challenging for us to see real movement on salaries.
Instead, the state sends money based on a recommended student-to-teacher ratio. And Bircher says every locality in Virginia hires more teachers than the state requires. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
In full disclosure, the Virginia Education Association underwrites programming on WMRA. Virginia's opioid epidemic continues to grow, and in response, lawmakers are working to improve one pathway to recovery through temporary supportive housing known as recovery residences. WCVE's Megan Pauley reports.
Right now in Virginia, there's no definition or standards for recovery residences. Democratic delegate Chris Hurst has a bill in to put those standards in place and set up a process for voluntary certification through the state's Department of Behavioral Health.
And there are some bad actors out there. Frankly, there are some scam operations out there that are taking people's money.
The bill also requires the Department of Behavioral Health to post a list of certified recovery residences on their website. Hughes Melton is director.
It does two things. One, it lets family members, individuals seeking care, community service boards, law enforcement, it lets them know where they are. And it also gives them a certain amount of peace of mind about the quality of the services that particular provider is going to provide.
Hurst's bill passed in the House yesterday and now heads to the Senate. Megan Pauley, WMRA News.
Finally today, the chief deputy of the Albemarle County Sheriff's Office wants to become the county's first female sheriff. Chan Bryant, who has worked for the sheriff's office since 1995, announced her candidacy on Tuesday. Bryant was the first woman to become a sergeant and to be promoted to chief deputy in Albemarle County. Her plans include building a better relationship between the community and law enforcement, reinstating the DARE program, and starting a senior safety program that checks in on seniors who live alone. Bryant is backed by current Sheriff Chip Harding, who is retiring after heading the office for more than a decade so far. Bryant is running uncontested. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay warm. Take the pets inside, too. And enjoy your Wednesday.